neither Malik said be Malki. Okay, none of those imams invite the people to follow them. Even they forbid people to follow them until they know why they made such a statement. Okay, this is one or two. Number three, that all these scholars, they said that when you found the authentic hadith, this is my school, that this is my way, this is my madhab. Number four, they said that any time you found our saying different from what the Prophet ﷺ said, throw away what we said and follow what the Prophet ﷺ said. Okay? I give you opinion, I give you example about urine, and that's what we just talk about it. In this, there is three rulings, or there is three understanding about it. As example, you found Imam Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhima, which is the madhab of most of the Sahaba, okay, and this is the most authentic to my knowledge, and this is what I incline towards, that we go by this hadith, which is that you wash the urine of the baby girl and you sprinkle for the urine of a baby boy. Okay? And this is the school of Imam Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad. Okay, they go. He found other school like Al-Awza'i as example, okay, and which he add this to Sufyan, and Ibn Hazm claims that this is the way of Al-Hasan also. He said that there is no difference between the two urines. Urine is urine, okay? Urine is urine, okay? So why we have to make a difference? But if they start to eat, now we have to watch both of them. Okay? Now, this is his understanding. But we see that this understanding or this opinion is opposite and contradict the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is it? Okay. Now we look to another opinion of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and Imam Malik rahimahullah. He found that his opinion that you have to wash the urine of the boy and the girl regardless if they ate or they didn't eat, or they didn't eat. Okay? And they said that the urine of a baby after he eat, you have to wash it. The urine of the girl after she eat, you still have to wash it. So why is going to be different before they eat? Okay? And also they went to hadith which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he passed by a grave and said that the man in this grave, he's punished, and his punishment because he didn't do something great, but indeed it is great, okay? And he said that he didn't watch or be careful from his urine, okay? Sprinkle splashing of the urine when a person urine comes in your body, comes in your clothes, okay? So he said that this man was punished because the urine or the splashing of the urine, or he doesn't remove himself properly, okay? And he said, so this shows the impurity of the urine, and also the man who came and he be in the masjid, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said pour water in it. So he said it still shows that this is something impure regardless, okay? But this hadith is general and this hadith is specific, and according the rule of fiqh, we go that the specific will rule over the general. The general doesn't rule over the specific hadith. But anyway, let's understand that we stick with the hadith, which is clear cut, saying that when a baby boy urine is sprinkled water over it, and a baby girl urine that you washed. Now, why is the difference? The difference, as I said, this is not a Quran or Hadith. This understanding of some of the scholars, okay? Which one of them, as example, this supposed to be a saying of Imam Shafi'i, that somebody asked him, what is the difference? He said, because the urine of a baby boy is from water and mud, while the urine of a girl is from blood and flesh. Okay, Abdul Aziz, explain it now. You see, Habib got it. You believe this? I thought you're the one who's going to get it. Next time, inshallah, Habib got it. He said, do you got it? He said, no. He said that because Adam, alayhi salam, been created from water and from mud. He originally came from the earth. But his wife, which is a female, came from him. And he is what? His blood and flesh. And this makes different, okay, from being coming, the nature of the creation made a difference. As I said, this is understanding of scholars. This is not a debatable issue, because we can debate it until tomorrow. If you're interested to hear it, I can give you the end of the list. If not, I can go to something else. Anybody else want to continue to understand the difference or no? But this has nothing to do with the urine now. Okay. You don't want to hear it? This is okay. Two more? All right. They said that because usually the boys, the people love boys more than girls, at least in that time. And carrying the boys by the fathers usually more than the girls. Okay? And babies bees a lot, and this will be a lot of hardship and difficulty. So Islam relaxes the rulings concerning the peeing of the boys, because usually people carry boys more than the girls. Okay? One more? Okay. Akhi, whoever said it, people try to exercise their mind. Okay? Okay, one more. They said that the hold it. Okay. They said because the bee, when a baby bee, the urine basically goes in one spot, but the bees for a female splash. So now is much this is the big scholars talking about these things. You understand? And you have to understand, these people, they are not only talking stuff. These people study things. They study nature, study human being, study everything, and they make statements about any things like this. And I'm talking about big type of scholars, you understand, some of them even from Tabi'in, okay? So it's not to understand like a joke, you understand, but anyway, forget it. Okay. Let's go to, anyway, the ruling that we understand now concerning this, or what we benefit from this hadith, that when the baby, and this only relating to the baby, that baby who didn't eat, okay, and they still nursing, that if the urine in anybody, on the clothes, on the prayer rug, wherever it is, the purification of this, if it's a boy that is sprinkled on the bee, and if is a girl that you wash this spot, okay? Let's go to something else. Said that what we benefit from this hadith also, that the urine for the female at any age is impure. Okay? And this is the reason that I was trying not to use the word purifying the spot after the boy. The next hadith, which hadith Asma. وعن أسماء بنت أبي بكر رضي الله عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في دم الحيض يصيب ثوب تحته ثم تقرصه أو تقرصه بالماء ثم تنضحه ثم تصلي فيه متفق عليه. The hadith once again. وعن أسماء بنت أبي بكر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في دم الحيض يصيب الثوب تحته ثم تقرصه بالماء ثم تنضحه ثم تصلي فيه متفق عليه. Narrated Asma bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq that the Prophet, may Allah be pleased with them, that mean her and her father, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding menstruation blood that smears a garment, she should scrape it, rub it with water, then wash it, and then she may pray in it. Agreed upon. Asma is the oldest daughter, or older than Aisha, 10 years. She died in the year 73, while she was 100 years old. MashaAllah. SubhanAllah. And she is the daughter of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, the first Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the hadith in the Usul concerning Imra'a, a woman, سألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن دم الحيض. The hadith came in other narrations and other books that a woman asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning the blood of menses. Okay, but in actuality, that the woman who had asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Asma. I used to have a third book. Where is the third book gone? To make the students tired, okay? تحته. Now we understand that Aisha, that Asma, asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam عن دم الحيض, the blood of menses, okay? When it comes in the garment, okay? What? How? Because we talking about chapter of what? Purification. Removing the impurity. So this is the reason that this hadith coming in this chapter. So now about this blood. How if this blood, the blood of menses, if it comes on the garment, okay, what a woman should do about it? Does not have to be only a woman. Let's assume, you understand, for some reason, the blood of a your wife, while she have her menses, came in your soap, okay, or came on the prayer rug, as example, okay. What is going to be done about it? And this is very important. We can see how the Sahaba concerned about learning how to purify anything, okay, that they know that is impure. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, number one, he said tahuttuhu, and it's the same meaning of tahukkuhu, okay? Tahuttuhu and tahukkuhu is the same, alright? وهي عملية القرض وهي عملية الـ removal mixing English and Arabic and say تحطه which mean تحكه she should scrape it okay she should scrape it and after this تكرسه okay and in another narration came تقرسه that mean to sprinkle water in it to wet your fingers okay and to put it sprinkle it on this is parts of the blood and that you rub it okay so number one is the removal scraping it number two take a little bit water scraping it over it okay and they try like rubbing it between your two fingers or your two hands okay and after this ثم تنضحه ثم تصلي فيه and after this will wash it and after this she can pray on it inshallah we look to it after okay so there is three steps here scraping and after this is wetting it little bit and rubbing it or scrubbing it and number three is the washing okay ثم يرش الماء على okay and after this now this will be the purification for the garment and the exactly I'm coming to this okay and this in this condition that will be what ready for you to wash to pray on it okay now we understand that from this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam given this three steps and you know that the water in that time is not too much in most cases okay and also if the water is a lot here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaching us how to be thrifty that because taking try to wash it okay step number one or number two it will take a lot of water but removing it and after this take a little bit of water and try to scrape it okay and after this wash it now you use a little bit water to deal with this spot and the washing now you don't need to take too much water okay so this is also one way and if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaching us to be thrifty with water which conservative okay still the same okay mean don't waste water all right so also this to teach us in general in our life that we shouldn't be wasting okay water money time whatever it is okay yeah nowadays we have it but does not mean and my brother here Mu'izzuddin he'll bring me to another point detergent is it necessary using water this is the point okay very important okay water is liquid detergent is liquid what you call vinegar is liquid gasoline is liquid okay and all the things it does what it can remove spots okay but the question here comes is it necessary using the water for purifying and washing things okay all right there's many things okay hold it now inshallah next class I can give it to you guys okay let me have this class tonight because I still have one paper more to finish and I see the class is about and I still want to jump to chapter of wudu okay the scholars they have more than one saying okay which the most authentic and the one I'm inclined towards it or support it more that the necessity of using water ما okay must be a water. Why? Okay. They say you could not use any other liquid because we know in the story of this Bedouin man, he came and he peed in the middle of the masjid, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to prophesy this, he said what? أريق عليه ذنوبا من ماء, that for a packet of water over it. He did not ask for any other liquid. Number two, that because the hadith that we have it here, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her to wash it with water. Okay. Number three, because the next hadith which is coming about it, okay, also that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "يكفيك الماء," water will be sufficient for you. The hadith that we talk about utensils before, you remember when they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Can we eat in the utensils of the mushrikun?" Says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If you could not find others, do what? Wash it with water." Okay, all right. You know that the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "إذا ولغ الكلب," the one about the dog when he eats in your plate. Okay, he said, "Wash it what? 7 times," and also he made it condition to be washed with what? Water, and one of them was dirt. So he said to be with water. When the hadith that we talk about it, when we talk about natural water, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about his daughter to be washed with ma' wa sidr, okay, when she was dead, say wash her with ma' with water and sidr, okay, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to us in Quran that when you go to al-ghait or lamastum al-nisa', and he said, if you could not find water, if you could not find water, now do what? Tayammum. Okay? So always they found that the Quran and the Hadith made the condition to be water. Okay? Although that removing raf al-hadath different from izalat al-najasa. Raf al-hadath, raising, I don't know how to exactly, if we can translate this in English, but with Arabic we call raf al-hadath, hadath, like somebody break wudu, this hadath asghar, hadath akbar, مثل janaba after intercourse, so call it raf it, or remove the ruling or the condition of janaba, okay? Removing the condition of not being in the state of wudu, we call it rafa, okay, remove it or lift it up, okay? It's different from removing impurity. Removing impurity can be done with something tahir, okay, but does not have to be water. As example, if a person urine or even defecate, he can clean himself or herself with rocks. This is not water. Okay? But removing the impurity is different from removing the condition of impurity, like the state of impurity. You see? This is two different things. So removing the state of impurity, it has to be with water. And removing the physical impurity, it can be done with other things different from water, like what you call toilet paper, as example. Okay? Even if the water is there. Okay? If a person use toilet paper and clean himself properly with it, can be sufficient? Yes, it can. Okay. The answer is, okay, alright, you're asking a question, you want the answer? Okay. What is required is removing the filth. If the filth has been removed, is it? Okay. And this what the Sahaba used to do in some cases. No. No. Okay? This does not have to be. Okay? If a person remove the impurity, urine or defecation, okay, by any other means different from water, it will be sufficient. There is a difference between what's enough and what's bitter, and we have to make difference between both. Okay? There is a difference between what's enough and acceptable and what is bitter. Like as example, somebody made wudu one time, wash his arm one time, and one person made wudu by washing his arm three times. Okay? We have to understand the difference between what is sufficient and what is bitter. Okay. We find as example, there is different other ways of purifying things, like Hadith Umm Salama. Her garment was too long. Okay? And she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that she step in mud, in water, in different things in the street. Okay? How she can pray in such a garment like this? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her that what comes after this will provide it. Because when you walk over wet spot, and after this you walk over dry spot, okay? So this is means of purification. Let me, as example, come to the masjid. The Prophet ﷺ said, when one of you come to the masjid, let him look to his shoes. Listen. If he see impurity in it, let him, what? Rub it on the ground. So, rubbing, he didn't use water. And there is impurity in your shoes, but rubbing was means of purification by rubbing it in the sand or in the dirt, okay? All these things, and there is other things, understand that we can talk about it. But anyway, let's go to something else, inshallah, because we want to finish this hadith, and at least if we get one hadith or two hadith in the new chapter, so we can say that we already in a new chapter, inshallah, and we can feel happy, inshallah. Okay? Last hadith in this chapter, which it was supposed to be finished last week, alhamdulillah. Still awake? Okay. Can we finish? Alright. Last hadith, which is number 28, page number 22, page number 22. I'm glad Imran is not here. Okay. Chapter 4, hadith number 29, and Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال قل قالت خولة يا رسول الله فإن لم يذهب الدم قال يكفيك الماء ولا يضرك أثره أخرجه الترمذي وسنده ضعيف. Let's go to the hadith narrated Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that خولة said, O Messenger of Allah, suppose the trace of the blood doesn't go, that means doesn't go away, okay? He said, washing it with water, again this is what we're talking about, huh? Washing it with water will suffice you and its trace, and its trace won't harm you. Reported by At-Tirmidhi, and it's a sanad, the chain of narrators is weak. Alright? This hadith, as well as the hadith before, it shows us that the blood of menses is what is impure. That we have to do the best of removing it. Alright, that it have to be washed by using water. This hadith also is in the collection of Imam al-Bayhaqi, and the hadith is weak because Ibn al-Hay'a in it, and he's weak. And if this hadith is weak, you know that we could not use it. we could not benefit from it, you could not use it as a means of evidence, neither you can use it as a way of argument or proving a point. Okay? By the way, this hadith, okay, been authenticated by Sheikh Al-Albani, because another narration, riwayat Ahad Al-Abadila, okay, there is one of Abdullah, that Abdullah ibn Abbas or Abdullah ibn Umar, okay, that he reported from Ibn al-Hay'a, and other scholars also, they authenticated this hadith. But anyway, the hadith is debatable among the scholars of hadith. Some, they found it to be weak, and some to be sahih. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But basically, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we understand from the general ruling of Islam that لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't require from us beyond our ability. If a person wash and wash and wash and wash, and you could not get it out of the clothes, okay, that it be forgiven, alright? As long as the person already try and wash it with water and take the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it available for him. Okay? The hadith before this was a benefit from it, and I forgot to mention it, that as I said, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah said, he said, لا يعفى عن يسير دم الحيض, that the smallest spots of the blood of menses is not, shouldn't be overlooked. Okay? This is the reason the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, remove it or scrape it, and after this sprinkle it and wash it and all the things. So he's saying from this we understand that you should try your best to remove this, and that you are not supposed to overlook even the little bit of it. But most of the scholars, they talk about the little thing of najasa that beyond a human being ability to watch for it or to remove it is forgiven, inshallah. Also, we see from the hadith that this woman, which is Asma radiallahu anha, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this shows that the Sahaba women, they did not feel shy to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about things that you may call it personal, because this is a deen, and it is very important to know about how to establish your relationship between you and Allah. And if she be shy about things like this, and you know the foundation of the salah is purification, and if your purification and your cleanliness is not right, how your salah will be right? So this was very important that we understand from this hadith how the female sahaba, they never been shy to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about things which is very important for their deen, even is considered something maybe personal. By this, inshallah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that we come to finish chapter number 3, and inshallah, by Allah's leave, that we approaching for the next 5-10 minutes left, chapter number 4, and this chapter concerning al-wudu, babu al-wudu. The chapter concerning ablution. Okay? عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال لولا أن أشق على أمتي لأمرتهم بالسواك مع كل وضوء. أخرج مالك وأحمد والنسائي وصححه ابن خزيمة وذكره البخاري تعليقا. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه may Allah be pleased with him from the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم that he said had I not feared burdening my ummah, my followers, my nation, I would have commanded them to use siwak before every salah. Actually, he said here, the Arabic say wudu, but I don't know why he translated here salah and the prayer. This is something strange to me. But it maybe explain something about it in the footnote. If anybody see, let me know. Okay. this hadith, which is reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, there is ijma' concerning its authenticity. Okay. The hadith in Muwatta Imam Malik and Sunan Imam Ahmad and in Nisa'i. The hadith is authentic, so no dust on it. And the hadith came that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying what the meaning is, if it's not be difficult and burden in my nation, I will command them to use the miswak with every ablution. And to command, that mean I will make a order, okay, to make it obligatory. And the siwak is with a seen kasra, siwak, okay. And you can call siwak concerning the actual, the verb itself, or the tool itself that you're using to make miswak. And it prefers to use a branch of a tree or whatever similar to it to remove the yellowness and the smell out of your mouth. Okay? But to my understanding that siwak is a special tree which you call al-araq, because I don't think any other tree or even the toothbrush and the toothpaste will do the same like the siwak. Okay? And for your knowledge, which I don't want to really get in details in it, that recently they have a discovery and they have compared the toothbrush and the toothpaste together, compare it to the siwak, they found that siwak is more beneficial and more more beneficial and more this is the only word I can use, beneficial for the mouth, than the toothbrush including the toothpaste. Okay, this is something you have to know about it. This will bring us to talk a little bit about when you're supposed to use the miswak, and I go fast and quick over it. One of the occasion to use the miswak or the siwak, or you want to see what it is look like? Okay. When you enter your house, okay, it happened to be I have one here, okay. Ridwan have a bigger one because he's planning to get married soon. Okay. Oh yeah, understand. No, not for ouch. So he has to clean his mouth before.
No comment.
Yes. Before you enter your house, it's sunnah to use the miswak. Before the wudu, you use the miswak. Before the salah, it is the sunnah also to use the miswak. I'm so sorry, sisters. I try not to do this. Please, okay, please. Alright. When you get up during the night, use the miswak. When you feel the necessity that your mouth is a change of smell or the taste of your mouth, okay, and before the recitation of the Quran, okay. This is six places which is the sunnah to use the miswak. Okay, now concerning using the miswak for the fasting person, can a fasting person use the miswak? Yes, everybody agree about it, but there is a debate or differences between the scholars concerning after Zuhr, okay, can you use it after this or no? But the Jumhur and majority of the scholars that it is permissible to use it if you're fasting or not fasting, in the morning or before Maghrib at any time, okay? And and the other that is say that you are not supposed to use it after the wal shams, because the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the smell of the fasting person is better in the sight of Allah than the musk. Okay, this is the understood from this hadith. So that means you are not supposed to change your breath, okay, especially after the wal. But this can be understood also in a different ways. That means the smell of the mouth that before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that in the day of a judgment, or this apply to your stomach, not about your mouth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But basically, this is one of the occasions for a person to use the miswak, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt that it may cause the ummah hardship and difficulty, therefore he didn't make it obligatory in us. And you can see that we forget our miswak, and it's not easy always to have it in your pocket and all these things. But this shows how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so kind and so merciful, and he was so concerned about his nation. Okay? We're going to see him stop here. We are not going to be able to go to the second hadith because I see the tape about to finish. Taking consideration also that I will take one question. This is what Hassan used to say, okay? One question from the brothers and one question from the sisters, okay? So one question from the brothers first. Nobody? So we go to the sisters. One question from the sisters. Alhamdulillah, no question from the sisters. So we come to finish our class tonight, inshallah. And should we... You have something?
Yeah.
What? Quick, is before the tip
click. Is it possible that you can find Miss Suwak tree and plant over here in America and grow it?
First, we have to change the weather because I think this grows in a special... Yeah. In the desert and in hot climbing.
Arizona?
So, huh?
Arizona? No, it's not far enough.
It's not hot enough?
No, it's not far enough. It's latitude and
long. Okay. Right. Jabir said the latitude is not enough. Okay. So, but anyway, basically you found it mostly in Saudi Arabia. And by the way, there is other miswak that the people using it from the olive tree, which when you bend it and you do it, it comes with the what you call the
fibers,
same thing like this, but I don't know if it gives the same smell and this, no, okay? But if you can get this, alhamdulillah, if you could not, even if you carry toothbrush, small toothbrush in your bucket, it still will be good that you get closer to the sunnah to the best of your ability, that you will use it before the wudu, inshallah. Anybody else have a comment, correction, question? Nothing is juice, akhi, comes like this, the juice comes from your mouth. No fluid, akhi, but it is something I don't know how to describe.